Good morning, everyone. This exhortation I found you're going to find is a really good one. And this is by Charles Kelly, Del Rio, Texas, 1996. And this kind of dovetails into his Sunday school class this morning. And there's stuff I didn't know about sheep. That I will share it with you so you'll know too. When God chose the nation of Israel, he referred to them as his flock of sheep. The terminology was continued in the reference to the Jews who believed on Christ and came to include the Gentiles believers. Why were the believers spoken of as sheep? There are many similarities when we compare ourselves with actual sheep. Although believers each have duties to shepherd the flock, we are essentially sheep. Most of our life is lived as followers rather than leaders, as sheep rather than shepherds. Why? Why is it that believers are likened to sheep? I spent a big part of my life working on operating a sheep ranch, and have observed that there are many similarities between a flock of sheep and Christ's flock. There is not another animal that needs more care in order to survive and be productive than sheep. Why would anyone want to possess these particular animals, which display few signs of beauty in their outward appearance? They are very dull-looking animals and have no color, but their natural gray, which is a combination of natural white color combined with grease, dirt, and stains. An occasional black sheep will be born that is almost worthless, as the wool is of no value. Of course, we've heard about the black sheep of the family, huh? There is one thing about sheep that leads people to possess them. Sheep can be very profitable since they produce two crops, wool and lambs. With the proper care, they can do this under a very observed at adverse conditions. Living on land that is marginal and unable to support larger animals. In addition to the profits to be derived from possessing sheep, it can be pleasurable to select the best of the young and watch them develop into profitable maturity. Little is more disappointing than to have one that you choose out of as special to develop traits that render it unprofitable, either because it is wild in nature or unable to produce lambs or the right kind of wool. Spiritual lessons. Many ranchers that have become well known due to the fame of their sheep, which are extraordinarily productive both in wool and lambs, as well as being gentle in nature and easily handled. The more well-known the rancher's sheep become, the more profit and fame he will acquire. How does this fit in with the scriptures? In Acts 15:14, we are told, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Although we cannot bring God actual profit, we can further his cause, which is the exaltation of his name above every name in the eyes of all men. This should be done in word and deed, as David says in Psalms 34:1-3, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Believers are chosen by God to be his reputation, to make him well known, to exalt and manifest his name by being doubly productive through faith and works. Like a rancher, God will cull and remove any sheep that does not mature into one that will accomplish his goals. Sheep under the constant care of one person will develop a very close and trusting relationship. Even with this trust, there is an outstanding characteristic that nearly all the sheep display. They are one of the most obstinate and stubborn of animals. Once their minds are made up to do something, it is very hard to change them. Many times we suffer almost the unbearable frustration in our attempts to care for a product for and protect them. It seems they almost delighted in trying the patience of a shepherd. Does this not bring to mind the description by Stephen in his final address to the Jews before they stoned him? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. God's description of Israel is similar, because I knew that thou art abstinent, and the neck is of iron sinew, and thy brow brass. In spite of the innumerable times that God approached Israel to correct them, they ultimately refused to turn back to him and were destroyed and depressed. God partly gathered his flock back into the land for a few hundred years, only to see that when their Messiah came, they refused to recognize him in spite of his wonderful care and leadership. Again, they were destroyed as a nation, removed from their land, and depressed among the nations. What about the flock of Christ? Like the nation of Israel, they were continually warned by their shepherds, but in a relatively short time followed shepherds and their own choosing who led them astray. They formed an apostolic church system, which in turn persecuted and the relatively few true sheep. This system, as we know, is disdained for total destruction. Some 150 years ago, there was a revival of the flock of God as Dr. Thomas dug out the truth. This flock has been through much trial and tribulation, beset with false shepherds as well as good, and after a period of being a unified body, has become a weakened and divided flock needing instant shepherding in order to survive. Part of the trouble comes from various shepherds who have led astray those who would not heed the true shepherd's call. A lot of the trouble lies with the flock itself, as the sheep are more and more willing to be influenced by such shepherds. Much of our trouble lies in our willingness to be influenced by the viewpoints of the world. The flock is in grave danger of becoming like those. Paul speaks of in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. So we've seen that ourselves, you know, in just the last few years. And we've seen it for many years, but it just seems to be getting worse. A sheep's characteristics. One of the characteristics of natural sheep is that they are easily fooled due to their failure to look ahead for danger. Many of us have heard that if one sheep goes, they all go, and it is pretty much true. There was a job that we always dreaded with our sheep, and that was shipping time, when they had to be loaded into the trucks. The sheep many times absolutely refused to move up to the chutes and having to be bodily lifted into the trucks. Knowing that the tendency for the sheep to follow others, all the truckers soon began to carry trained lead sheep or goats on the trucks when they came to load the sheep. These trained animals would descend into the pen, make a circle, then proceed back up to the chutes and to the truck. The sheep almost always followed them. It worked the same way unloading, as the trained animals would lead them off into the pens at the delivery point. This is where the term Judas sheep or goat came from, as these trained leaders led the other animals to their death. Does this bring to mind anything concerning the spiritual sheep of God's flock? How many times have members who would never be driven to do anything wrong let themselves be led into a spiritual trouble by Judas sheep? Those of us who have been in the truth for many years can remember instances wherein either some member or group of members willingly followed some persons just because he was going in a direction that seemed right at the time. This brings to mind the words of Peter, "Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." 2 Peter 3:17. Our method of working the sheep consisted of finding them in the pastures and driving them to the working pens. Sheep are not fond of being driven and do not want to be driven into pens. They will often decide to break and run instead of going into the pens. They will scatter and run nearly across the pasture. We then discovered yellow corn. Sheep love dearly, and which makes a nice noise when shaken in a sack or a bucket. We would put the corn into either sacks or buckets, shake it, and call the sheep while scattering the corn on the ground. Soon all we had to do was to get them near the pens. get some corn, and then they would follow us right in. They were then at my mercy to do what I wanted to do with them. How many times have the spiritual sheep of God's flock been led astray by someone offering them what sounded like the truth but was in reality false? How much better it would be if we would always remember what Paul told the Thessalonians: prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We can see that the sheep need to pay constant heed to Paul's word to Timothy: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pretty good so far, huh? Predators. We know what predators are. You know what predator is? Listen, you'll find out. Another characteristic of sheep is that in the face of a predatory animals, they do not think that something is after them, going to get them and kill them and eat them. That's a predator. Many times, ranchers will find anywhere from 1 to 20 or 30 or more sheep killed by a predator in a relatively small area. They seem to become almost hypnotized by the predators and dangers involved, and many times will not flee to safety. Does that sound like some people that we may have run into? Hypnotized? I need to stop that. I keep losing my place. They seem fascinated by the predator, never thinking about getting completely away to safety until they are maimed or killed. How many times have we seen members of the flock react in a very similar way to those who would depredate the flock of God, or pull them away, steal them? Members who see predators stalking and killing other sheep will many times stay around until they too fall victim to the danger and reach a state of spiritual death. Let us look at a warning given by the Apostle Paul in such a case. I wrote unto you in the epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must your needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetousness, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, and one not to eat. In other words, stay away from those type of people. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. The advice is to avoid or to get away from the predatory type who would, for one reason or another, seek to lead the flock in ways other than those taught in the Word, and which will end in their deaths. This is true whether it be by immortality or trying to teach others gospel. There is only one good news, that can lead to life. The preaching of any other cannot be good news, as it can only lead to death. Another danger. Another danger to sheep is snakes. Now, how many of us like snakes? No hands are up here. I don't like them. Anything bigger than a nightcrawler, I don't want anything to do with. Another danger to sheep is snakes. While grazing, sheep have their heads down and their eyes focused on what they are eating. They can gaze up on a snake without realizing that it is there and suffer its bites. Many times when they see a snake, they will not avoid it, but out of curiosity, they will attempt to get closer and even to smell it. Guess what? They are bitten and many times die, or at best have a long period of recurruption, which many times leaves them unable to do any longer be profitable members of the flock. How many members of God's flock have we seen who would come face to face with sin, the serpent, suddenly and unawares because their eyes were focused elsewhere? How many of us, when becoming aware that we are nose to nose with sin, quickly back away? Or how many of us have tried to get a little closer? Have we been fatally bitten? The righteous judge will decide if we are full of poison, or if we escape unbitten, or maybe healed sufficiently to remain productive in the flock. Now we can think about that. I'm sure all of us can. How close have we been? Parasites. Another trait found in sheep is the internal or external parasites. Many times sheep become infested with lice, ticks, and other external parasites, which will weaken the sheep, make its wool fall out, and eventually kill it if left untreated. They will also pick up eggs from various worms that lie in the plants upon which sheep graze, which when ingested will develop inside them into a parasite worms, which suck the life from the sheep. They are not visible from the outside, and it takes a special test to know for sure if they are present. If left untreated, like the external parasites, it will render the sheep weak and unproductive and will eventually kill them. Treatments are available only if their owners realize the situation and act promptly. Many times the sheep of God become ingested with contaminated food or through our association with the world picked up external parasites. Thankfully, our shepherd has given us everything needed to treat these parasites invaders. We can purge out these things if only we can be induced to take the medicine provided in his word. Of course, the best protection is not to eat the contaminated food, nor to linger in the areas known to be infested with these parasites in the first place. But should we do so, our medicine is there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and and envious in all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire and sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Brothers and sisters, let us not be as a flock led astray, but let us keep our eyes on the true shepherd and faithfully follow in his leadership, so that we too can speak the words of David found in Psalms 23. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I hope that gave you a little insight on sheep. I know Sharon loves sheep. She may not anymore. All right. I'm going to go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go ahead and have our, that's what we need to do. We're all him.